Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. As you know, this is the house that God has provided for us to come and worship and praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Last week, I confessed to you that my sermon on hopelessness had its origin in a discussion which Connie and I had regarding our medical problems. Well, I'm not going to share with you today the origin of my message. If you read the title, right, Jim?
Right, you got it.
Whenever we have relationships of any kind, there will be conflict. This is not any great revelation that I have discovered. We have been experiencing life the many years or few years we've been here, and we know that to be a fact. And this is particularly true in marriages. Most marriages are marked by periodic skirmishes, sometimes as an all-out war. Sometimes marital warfare takes the place in the trenches of hostility or moodiness. Some battles are surprise attacks, and others are cold wars of stoic silence. You know, sometimes this battle doesn't begin till years down the road after the marriage ceremonies, and other times it can happen on the wedding night. But most of us enter our marriage and other relationships with undeveloped conflict resolution skills. We really do not know how to have a good fight. I am reminded of the husband who said, after 50 years of marriage, my wife and I have only had one fight. And people couldn't believe it. They said, well, what is your secret? He said, well, it started on the honeymoon and I'm still waiting for it to end. So hopefully none of you have experienced that type of conflict. But this morning, I want us to think about many reasons that we fight with our children, with our employers, with our friends, with our spouses. Experts after experts tell us the number one reason that marriage couples fight is money. There are many others: vacations, goals, kids, church, even pets. But money is the number one. But think about all the other reasons that we have disagreements with friends and family and employers and co-workers. And this morning I want to discuss four conflict resolution skills regarding fighting with others. We must learn them and use them when fighting with our spouse or any other person, because when we do so, we are fighting a good fight or a fair fight. And these skills are not original to me. I've read many marriage counselor publications. I've read many sermons on marriages. And I've read about the tools, which we shall discuss, that are needed for a good fight. And I wish to share my thoughts regarding these. I just thought about this morning. I hadn't put it in my notes, but when I was at another church, I was teaching some seminars, and I was approached by several couples about teaching a marriage seminar. And I thought about it, and I said, well, okay, I'll give it a try. So I got the material and looked over it, and I even called Brandemill Inn and got some prices for Friday night and Saturday, and then leaving after having devotions on Sunday morning, and printed up all the material about that and disseminated it to the young couples class and the old couples class. None of them could agree on whether to come to the seminar, so nobody came. They had disagreements over coming to the marriage seminar. So you can get in disagreements over anything. But as I alluded to earlier, the skills which we shall discuss may be used when we are having a disagreement or fight in any relationship, but I must admit that my comments are slanted towards married couples. Our text this morning is an excellent source from God's Word to teach us the tools to fight a good or fair fight. And if you'll turn in your Bibles and follow along as I read from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 25 through 32. Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, do something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Now, the first skill or conflict resolution skill we must master is honesty. We must learn to be honest in dealing with others. And this is discussed right at the very beginning of our text, verse 25 of chapter 4. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. This word put off means just what it sounds like, to discard, to strip off, to cast away. God is telling us that we must rid ourselves of any falsehood and start practicing telling the truth. Although this verse really speaks about relationships among believers in a body of believers, it is absolutely applicable to married couples and to any other relationships we have with others. Christians ought to be truth tellers, not people who lie to one another. If we are truly to be followers of Jesus, then we must be honest. But this is easier said than done, because it is not easy to be honest. We think that if we are honest, people will turn away from us, will push us away. We cannot build a meaningful relationship, though, if truth and honesty are not valued. What this means is we shall not take the easy way out, but we shall do what is right and tell the truth, even if it means going through a period of chaos in our relationships. Take the time to be honest and straight with the person with whom you are having a disagreement or having a fight, whether it's your spouse or someone else. Do this even though it may not be easy. Do not hurt him or her by not listening to what they're saying. Do not demean him or her by being insensitive. And if you are the offended person, use straight talk. Tell the offender that you didn't appreciate what was said, that you were hurt by it, that you felt like you were taken advantage of, that you felt like it was a low blow. Telling the offending person your exact feelings. Now, let me ask each of you a question and just think about it in this mind. Are you a truth teller or a peace keeper? I dare say if we went around the room and gave everyone a chance to make a choice, we would rather just keep the peace. We believe if we're honest with others, they won't have anything to do with us. They'll be offended. We'd rather not tell our boss what we're thinking because he may get mad. We'd rather not tell our spouse what we're thinking because he or she may become very defensive. We'd rather not tell our teacher or our parents the truth because they would just not understand. So we become a peacekeeper. We just let it slide, or we say what we think the other person wants to hear. But submerging our true feelings in order to preserve harmony eventually will undermine the relationship that you're trying to save. The integrity won't be there. People will catch on that you are not being honest and sincere. We might think we are doing the right thing by keeping the peace, but actually those feelings that we don't express are bottled up and eventually will come out. Second conflict resolution skill we need is expression of anger. We must learn to express anger. Now, this somehow doesn't seem right to us, does it? Some of us are thinking, well, I've already got that skill mastered. You ought to see me get angry. I've got that under control. But wait, let's listen to what God says about anger. In verse 26, he says, "In your anger, do not sin." It may surprise many of us that God approves of anger. But think about it. It is an emotion that he created. So when we are angry, don't deny it. If someone asks you, "Are you angry?" don't say, "No, I'm just frustrated. I'm not angry." Be honest and express that anger. Don't bottle it up and bury it. To bottle it up is like burying some poisonous toxins that they'll eventually bubble to the surface and pollute entire communities. Anger turned inward will seep out internally and can lead to depression to those who bottle it up. So we must not bottle up the anger. Some of us are spewers. When we are angry, we just let it flash, just like a volcano erupting hot lava. We say anything and everything we can think of to hurt the other person, whether it's our spouse or a co-worker. We don't express anger. We just demonstrate it through words and a red face and yelling and waving of arms. The best way to handle anger is not to be a bottler. It's not to be a spewer, but it's to be an expressor. Those who have learned to express their anger have learned the second skill of conflict resolution, the second skill of having a good fight. When they are angry, they express it appropriately. You know, there is inappropriate anger, as I said, name-calling, yelling, screaming, waving of arms. And then there is good anger. God wants us to be expressors. If we are a bottler or a spewer, it's really easy to commit sin in our anger. What does God teach us regarding this anger? He says in verse 26, Paul says, "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." The Bible says we must deal with anger in a timely fashion. Now, this doesn't mean you have to solve the problem which caused the anger in the first place before you go to sleep. But it says deal with the anger. Let the person know how you feel. Let your spouse know that you were hurt. that you felt betrayed, that you had told the kids all along, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. If you don't do this, these are the consequences. And then all of a sudden, your spouse changes the rules without consulting you. Let them know. Say, that angered me. I felt betrayed. Before you go to sleep. Then, once the anger is out, you've expressed it, then later on, the next day, end of the week, whatever, you can address the problem of one spouse not supporting the other when dealing with the children. If you let anger simmer or fester, it will wipe out relationships just like a huge tidal wave. You don't think so, but day after day, or week after week, or month after month, if you have these unresolved anger, or if you don't express it appropriately, if you spew it out or just bottle it up, it will eventually have a devastating toll on your relationship. We allow the devil a foothold in destroying our relationships by not dealing with our anger before we go to sleep. If we carry it from day to day, then Satan has that opportunity to drive that wedge between us and the person at whom we are angry. When we determine to resolve that anger with that person before going to sleep, and I'm not talking about just your spouse, certainly you want to do that, but if it's someone at work, you may want to call them when you get home and say, look, I was angry, and here's why. And let's talk about it tomorrow. Let's talk about the problem, or let's talk about it at the end of the week. If we do that, we take away one of Satan's most strategic weapons. Third conflict resolution skill is kindness. Learning to be kind. Our text tells us in verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And also in the first part of verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate one to another. Some of us have no trouble in being kind in our relationships. We really try to think of the other person by determining to meet their needs on a regular basis. We watch our tongue and we focus on compliments and saying things to build up the confidence of our mate or others. We desire our spouse or our child or our friend or our employer to feel secure and significant. And if you presently conduct yourself like that, God bless you, and please continue to do so. But some of us have trouble being kind in our relationships. Those with whom we have trouble, we really don't cut them any slack. And this is particularly true, I think, in a marriage. Instead of looking to compliment, encourage, and build up, we find ourselves criticizing and cutting down. And the quickest way to bury our marriage or any relationship is continuing with little digs over over and over, day after day after day. In a 20-year study of 2,000 married couples, researchers have uncovered one predictive factor in determining which couples will stay married for the long haul. So if you desire a marathon marriage, you must work at maintaining a 5-to-1 ratio of positive to negative comments. Positive interactions like compliments and smiling and so forth must outnumber negative comments or put downs by a ratio of 5-to-1 to give you a chance to make it over the long haul. Now, the fourth conflict resolution skill is forgiveness. We see this in the last half of verse 32. Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. If we want to have a good fight, we must remember that the goal is not who wins, The goal is to be reconciled with the person with whom we are fighting. And in order to lay down our weapons, it's important to learn the skill of forgiving, and of course, along with that, forgetting. You know, an elephant and a crocodile were in the Amazon River, and the elephant spotted a turtle over on a rock, and he waded over to the turtle, picked him up in his snout, and threw him as far as he could into the jungle. And the alligator said, "Man, why did you do that?" The elephant said, "Well, about 50 years ago, that turtle bit me." The alligator said, "That you remembered after all these years. Boy, you just have a great memory." The elephant said, "Yes, turtle recall." Did you get that? In any relationship, there will be conflict. Sometimes it's handled well. Sometimes it's not. But if we develop the ability to forgive, if we do not develop the ability to give, we will not have a very good marriage, and we'll not experience growing friendships with others. We'll find ourselves pushed away by our friends, by our co-workers, and even by our spouse, because we can't let go. We carry that grudge. You know, our text ends with the phrase, "Just as in Christ God forgave you." The best way to learn the skill of forgiveness is to experience the forgiveness firsthand that comes from confessing your sins to God. And once we taste the freedom of forgiveness of our sins, it will be easier for us to extend the same type of forgiveness that God shows us. The same type of forgiveness to our spouses, to our family members, to our friends, and to our co-workers. To say it another way, we shall be unable to forgive as God wants us to forgive until we have experienced the type of forgiveness which comes only as a result of God forgiving us. I believe fighting a good fight or a fair fight is important. And if you're ready to make a vow not to go to bed angry, I ask you to bow and pray silently this prayer with me. Let's pray. Lord, I do not wish for my relationships to unravel. I'm tired of just bottling things up or just blowing my top. I commit myself right now by vowing to deal with my anger before I go to sleep each night. Help me to develop the skills of being honest, expressing my anger, being kind, and being forgiving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would like to hone these skills of conflict resolution, you need to study God's Word. You need to discern from it, just like this passage we looked at today, those skills that are necessary. You need to be a child of God to give you the guidance and the strength to forgive, to give you the ability to be an expresser and not a bottler or a spewer. There are many of you here who obviously have mastered those skills. You've been married many, many years, and we say amen and praise the Lord for that. You could probably share with the rest of us better than I could what's needed to make it each day for 40 years, 50 years. Connie and I are coming up on 17, and she's had two hands that needed surgery, but other than that, we've made it pretty good. She's not smiling either. But if you would like to become one of those forgiven by God so you can know that experience and learn to forgive others, we invite you to come forward and confess your sins to Him and to accept his gift of salvation. If you want to become a member of this body of believers, we invite you to come and make application in any of the manner by which we accept application for membership. As we sing our invitation hymn, number 294, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.